Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses for an audience of real entrepreneurs. And joining me, I kind of feel, Jane, like people are not going to take your interview as seriously as they are some of the more techie interviews. Even though...
We'll show them. No, go on.
I think you've got higher revenue than anyone else that I'm going to be interviewing here.
Oh, amazing.
Right? No outside funding?
No.
I think it's because it's fashion. With social media promotion.
Yeah.
Right? Social media is the engine, which you do incredibly well, and you send people to a website where they can buy clothes, right? And both of those things feel flimsy. Fashion's not supposed to, you know, except for a few fashion brands, they're not supposed to do that well. In the bootstrap entrepreneur world, it's not supposed to. And then the other one is social media is supposed to be a thing that's just for fun.
Yeah.
And you do have fun with it. All right, I should introduce who you are.
Yeah. just his voice going,
The voice is Jane Liu. She is the founder of Shopo. They're an online store where you can buy clothing, right?
Yeah.
And I should set this up. I'm here in Sydney to do this interview. We're going to do the interview anyway.
Exciting.
Yeah. It's actually kind of interesting that I'm interviewing you here because you were telling me that I want to do the interview remotely, but you'd have to wake up super early. Yeah. I'd have to stay super late.
Not a morning person.
Yeah.
This is great.
Which is why I don't end up getting a lot of entrepreneurs outside of San Francisco or outside the US or outside of my time zone. I'm glad that you're here. All right, this interview is sponsored by two phenomenal companies. First, we'll host your website, right? It's called HostGator. And the second will help you hire phenomenal developers. It's called TopTal. Oh, you're probably going to end up hiring TopTal. We'll talk about them later.
Yeah.
All right, blow them away. Outside, no funding, but you do have revenue. What's the revenue?
Yeah, $60 million US.
$60 million.
Run rate, yes.
Run rate.
Yeah, so at our current, because we're growing so much, it's like at our current
rate. You basically are taking last month's revenue and you're multiplying it by 12. Okay, profitable?
Yes.
How much money?
Well, we have to be profitable because otherwise, where else will we get the money from?
Debt or something.
No, so no debt, no investors.
Wowee.
Yeah.
Right, how profitable? Are we talking over 3 million?
Pretty profitable.
Can you say over 3 million? Is that an appropriate ask?
Yeah, over 3 million.
Wowee. You're not stumped?
Pardon?
I
constantly pinch myself. But you know, it comes with its own challenges and
like what?
Just like, I mean, so the fact that we're at this size now, we're dealing with just like growing pains. Like a lot of the processes and the people are from when we were like 3 years, like right now we've got over 150 people. 3 years ago we had 15. And so we're now dealing with fundamental changes we need to like the way we run things, the people that we work with, which I'm not sure if I'm the most equipped person to do it, but I mean.
This is like a repeat. So you did this video where you talked about how when you were starting out, you were doing everything yourself. I think your mom helped you for a little bit. And then you said, wait, I can't be the only person doing everything.
Yeah.
I have to process and systemize and all that. And you did. And you got here. You also had to deal with like, am I going to be able to do this? All that internal chatter.
Yeah.
And you got past it and now another level.
Yeah.
At every level, it feels like this happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing. It's almost like, it's like a computer game, right? You get to a new level and then there's always a dip when you get to a new level because you're like playing in a different league. So you're like on level 5 in this computer game, of course you're gonna suck a bit. And then once you get past it, you're bored of it. You gotta go to the next level because otherwise you're just like excelling at doing the same shit. But until then, it's a bumpy road.
Shopo because it was called Shopony.
Yeah.
Why Shopony?
For no reason at all, except for the fact that I heard of that term because someone described a friend as being a Shopony because she's just like really into, she was really into herself. And at the time we only retailed party clothes. And so it seemed like a really fitting name. But then through the powers of social media, and this is Facebook back then, we started selling internationally, namely to the US.
Uh-huh.
And there were already Shopony companies out there and stores. They were like even Pony the Shoe brand. And we're like, a simple Google search told us that. So I kind of like hate myself for not thinking. I just didn't think the business would grow that big and it wouldn't be really an issue. Anyway, and then we figured like, look, you know, we're not very good at the law stuff, the legal stuff. So we're better at marketing. So we're better off just rebranding, focusing that money on rebranding rather than like potential litigation.
So here's what I want to understand in this interview. Mm-hmm. I want to get to know you as a person, so we'll talk about where you were born and all that. I want to understand, like, we'll even talk about your MySpace days. I want to hear about some of the failures, because you created this other company that was kind of similar. It was also in the fashion business, yeah, but it didn't do well. I want to know why. And then I want to get to why, in a world where people are not comfortable, it feels like, buying off of anything other than Amazon, how are they buying from you? How did you get customers to your site? How do you continue to get customers to your site?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, and we'll talk about the evolution of you as an entrepreneur through it. Why don't we talk about where you were born?
Yeah.
Where was this?
Yeah, I was born in China. In 1986, such a detail. Yeah, so we moved to Australia when I was 8.
Why?
Because I think my parents wanted to give me like a better future. I think a lot, you know, honestly, I think the situation is very different now. But like at that time, I think everyone thought like if you go to like America, Australia, the UK, whatever, like you go to one of these places and you've got all this, like you've got the chance for a brighter future, which when we came here, it actually all seemed a lot more grim. Like they had great jobs back home. We had family and friends. We came here, they had to work as cleaners and work in factories. We were so isolated.
Literally cleaning.
And alone. Yeah.
What did your parents do back home?
My mom worked in the bank and then my dad was a computer engineer. And my mom even, she was a cleaner for people that I went to school with.
Literally?
Yeah.
And so how did you feel about that?
They were really, I'm so lucky. Like people actually were really nice. I still got invited to their parties. Like the
really?
Yeah.
And it wasn't awkward for you?
No, I was really lucky. And because I was the only foreigner at school. Okay. Like not just like the only foreigner.
Okay.
There was an English as a second language class. And I'm like, but that's why my English probably got so good. That's really bad English. I've seen other, you know, in other areas, there's schools. Sorry, there's like these English classes and they've got like 60 people in there. I was the only one. So, you know.
And you didn't feel left out? You didn't feel like...
People were really nice. They were like,
I noticed this area is very diverse. People do seem very open to it. Was it like that back then?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely like still like dicks out there. But like I was very lucky. My school was great. Everyone was like, oh my God, who's this like little black hair chick?
Okay.
Like girl.
Oh, what?
Girl, like black hair. Girl with black hair.
Oh, really? Why? Because everyone's blonde here?
Yeah. Oh, not black hair.
Not this dark. Oh, God.
Like we had like other like Australian races, I guess. I mean, when I came here, everyone looks the same, right? Mm-hmm. So.
So in this world, you were a nerd. You were making your parents very proud, getting high grades.
Yeah.
You ended up working with KPMG.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Were your parents proud?
Yeah, they were really proud. Like, and that's the thing about, I mean, I went, that the whole academic route is like, you try and get into like a selective school, which is an academic high school. And that's kind of like everything that your parents care about. Like I know people that go to tutoring, like what kind of life is that for a kid? Like you have school and then you, after school, you do more school. It's just, it's crazy. I did it my senior year, I had to, in like the last 2 years. And then got into the selective school, and then to get a good grade, so like I think it's like your SAT, I got like a 99 plus, you have to do another 2 years.
Yeah.
And then, but other people do it for
what I'm getting at is, you made your parents proud.
Yeah.
They came here looking for this and they got it. You then met a boy.
Yeah.
You end up, because of this boy, discovering entrepreneurship, am I right?
Yeah.
And then you go and you become an entrepreneur.
Well, no. So he basically, you're actually very, I can't believe how much you know.
I feel like I'm creative skipping recession. A few places.
No. He,
I got notes.
You're very close. But he basically, it took a few, it wasn't like that much of a light bulb moment because he, you know, he's from Europe. He came in, started talking about, he's a little bit older, talking about traveling, and he talked about entrepreneurship. And at this point, I was just like, no, why would you do that? It's so risky and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I caught the travel bug and I broke up with him and then went traveling. And then when I came back for 9 months, and then when I came back from traveling, I realized that I was like, I couldn't adjust back to the corporate life, the little cubicle I was working in, and thought I wanted to do more because I started to challenge the status quo. I realized that there was more to life. And instead of like, you know, before going, I thought that was great because this KPMG job I got when I was 18. So I would study for part-time, work full-time, and instead of having this secure job, instead of looking at my career path as safe, it became boring. I looked at it as boring, and that was the first time ever. And so that was when I was like, crap, like I've had everything planned out until this moment. And this friend got made redundant during the global financial crisis, came and asked me if I wanted to start a business. And then that's when we started business. I said,
so
yes.
Is you and your friend?
Like, I don't even care what the business model is. Let's just do it.
Get me out of the cubicle.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's when I learned my big mistake of like, the business model matters.
By the way, I keep looking at your mic. I can't believe the mic's working like that.
Is it? Okay,
all so I do is like monitor audio, but it feels kind of weird that I'm looking at your mic. I wanted to explain why I kept looking down. It was called Fat Boy Group.
Yeah.
I like the model of it. How many times do I walk down a street and see a place that's closed because it's a bar, right? So closed during the day, at night it's open. I always thought, just make it into a place where I could sit and co-work, for example, or bring in coffee, right? There's a place in Berkeley that does that.
Sorry, I just had a sip of coffee.
Do it.
Should
be
wait
open
till you're like halfway during a rant.
And no. So you saw that, and your idea was what to do with these places.
Well, what's interesting is, so we both, so it was kind of her idea to do this. But my plan is, we did it for 6 months. We had a place open in the city and one at Bondi, so pretty good locations and pretty good bars. And we saw them with emerging designers. So we would physically go to kept in my parents' garage. We rent a van and a driver, put it all in the van, take it to the bar, set up all the racks and, sorry, I touched the mic, all the tables, racks and shelves, and then just set up for one day just to sell it. Like that was just, it's just not scalable. We got to two stores and we're like, ugh. So my idea was, I actually started building a website. Basically, she went away for a month, and then that was when I was like, I'm over this. I quit my job to work in the business, and I spent that whole month building a website. I took photos of like over 1,000 products to put on the website to do by myself. And then when she came back, so my idea was, without back then thinking like, oh, that you're pivoting, like you're just doing whatever, right? Because I never even read any books on entrepreneurship. I didn't know anyone, like I didn't have any friends who had their own business. Anyway, she wanted to use the pop-up store as almost like an MVP for a proper bricks and mortar store.
Got it, makes sense.
But then, like why would you, you know, like I don't get it. And so she—
You don't get it, why doesn't that make sense? Because she's not testing the idea of a store that way?
She wants, like her goal was to open more stores.
Why is that not a good idea? There are lots of clothing stores. But I want your analysis. There's an analysis here that I'm missing.
Yeah, no. So she's testing whether the product like works, and then if there's any like demand for the products we're selling. And so basically, when she came back from overseas, she wanted to shut it down because she wanted to get back in the corporate world and she was over it. And I was like, look at this website I just built. And she's like, no one shops online. Mm. And this is 2010, and she's telling me no one shops online. And she's like, no, like I wanted to build out stores. You should see the area where she wanted to actually have these stores in William Street, Paddington, not this William Street, different one. They're dead. There's like no foot traffic.
Okay.
There's just no, like, basically the business model doesn't work on so many levels. Like, because it's not even, I think the stores that are working now are flagship destination stores, and it's more experiential. Or there's stores that just, there's such high foot traffic and there's convenience.
So here's the thing that you did do well though. So this thing was not going out.
I'm just going the ranch about her, sorry.
I could see, are you guys still friends?
No, we're in good terms.
You are, okay, but it didn't end well. The one thing that you did do well though was you got a ton of publicity.
Yeah.
How? What did you do that got you so much publicity?
We just paid for a PR company, which I don't think is the best thing to do.
How'd you end up with money for a PR company?
We pulled in all of our like savings.
Did you go into debt as a result of this?
Well, I've been working. I did. That was like, it wasn't that much money.
How much money did you save?
I probably had 10, I probably put in like 15K. I was $60,000 in debt by the end of all this.
Because of all this stuff.
I had 30K with uni. Sorry, this is Australian dollars, which is not that different. But like 30K with uni, 20K because I quit my job and they made me pay it back, this allowance that I got.
Okay.
travel debt because I ended up staying an extra 3 months than I wanted to, and Scandinavia is not cheap. And then also money from this business.
You're a really smart person. What got you to suddenly go from making money, putting it in the bank, to now being deep in debt and allowing yourself to do that?
I don't know. I asked myself that.
Was it a lot of drinking while you were in Europe?
Yeah, there was a lot.
There was.
But...
because you were chasing a dream?
No, that's the thing. That's the thing about when I was in Europe. I didn't find myself. I didn't... I was so busy just going along with it, rolling with it, enjoying the exchange life that I wasn't. I didn't think about the business at all until I got back.
Okay.
Or like wanting to start a business. I don't know. I'm so glad I had that like living the vida loca moment then. So then I can like have my shit together more now.
All right. And so this thing didn't work out. Do you remember when you finally closed it up?
Immediately, when I didn't have the confidence to do it without her.
Oh, because she said, I can't do this?
Yeah.
She wanted to open up stores?
Well, no, she was like, she just like, because the online idea was not hers and also never part of on her radar, she was just like, that wasn't enough to convince her.
Okay.
And she didn't want to do it anymore, and so...
And you said, I can't do this by myself. Even though I get the sense you took on more debt, you put in more money into this business than she did. Fair?
I mean, she wouldn't say that.
Wow, so you guys put in a ton of money. All right, you close it up, and then you can go back to work.
Yeah, so I quit in the middle of the global financial crisis.
Yep.
So no one was hiring.
Yep.
And then everyone was, you know, getting made redundant left, right, and center. So, yeah, and then there's just, like, no other option. So I had to, I was literally rock bottom. Like, I had the job that I wanted. I've always been, like... you know, my parents have been so happy. Like, went to the uni that they wanted me to go to, the high school. Everything, like, was beyond what they possibly envisioned for me in this whole moving to Australia thing. And all of a sudden, I just, like, threw it all away to start a stupid business called Fat Boy Group.
Were your parents proud?
Pardon?
Were your parents proud?
Of Fat Boy Group?
Yeah, of what when you were doing it.
No, but they're pretty great to let me do it, which I never thank them for, because I always remind them how hard they... So basically, when I first started Shopo, which I started a month later, when I quit my job, the whole time I pretended I was still going to work for 6 months.
Like, you were living at home. You should adjust the mic, by the way. Let's stick it outside. It's going inside your shirt right now.
Oh, no, sorry, guys.
Okay. There we go. That'll work.
Yeah?
We could keep moving it even if we need to.
Okay.
So you were living at home.
Uh-huh.
You were going to start a new business.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents didn't know you were starting a new business. And you were hiding it from them.
No, I did tell them. I did tell them I was starting a new business, but I was still pretending it was a side hustle.
While you had a full-time job.
Yeah.
And so you'd get dressed up in suits?
In a suit, get up early. And as we know, I'm not a morning person.
Yes.
So getting up really early when you're unemployed is probably the most depressing thing ever. Because at least the best thing about being unemployed is you can sleep in. But no, so I had to get up, put on my suit, have breakfast with my parents. And then my mom worked in the city as well.
Okay.
So I had to get the bus into the city with my mom.
Okay.
And I would be carrying around an empty laptop bag. And then so for the first like month, I was just like trying to figure shit out. And then like a month later, and then I actually, that's the thing. Like I had to get I got a job as a receptionist at a laser hair removal clinic, which doesn't seem like a great natural progression from the degree I had in my previous job.
Seems like a step down.
But there's just like, there's no shame in needing money, like when you're trying to get by.
Until you did it.
Yeah, so I look at businesses, people are like, oh, I'm gonna like quit my job culture, again, blah, blah, blah. And I can't like, no, you need money to get by in this world. And if you want to keep following your dreams, you need to just do other things to supplement an income.
I think you called your boss a bitch.
She was a bitch.
She was tough. All right. Let's talk about how you ended up with the idea for Shopo.
Yeah.
First, I'm going to talk about my first sponsor. Uh-huh. It's a company called HostGator for hosting websites. Let me ask you this. If you had to start from scratch today and you had nothing but a hosting package, you could host any kind of website, what would you host? What's the new business you would build today?
Probably the same. This is all I know.
Clothing.
Really. Clothing, yeah.
You think we can, like if someone's listening to us today, they can go and get a new website and sell clothes online?
Okay, yeah, maybe, probably not.
No, it's a little challenging. Why? Yeah, Why is it challenging today?
Because you need to be, I guess, doing something different and just doing plain retail. If you were to do a Shopo now, you need to have like operational efficiencies, which means you need a lot of money, and then you need to have, and then you need to like gain the market share, and then you can like build a brand. Whereas like, if you're just gonna come into the market now, then how can you do it better than the existing? It will be very hard to do it differently to the existing players in the market. And even now we've pivoted into designing our own products. So just doing plain retail is gonna be very hard. You need to be doing something really different.
All right, is there something that you would do? Is there something like in the back of your head that you say, okay, if I had to start over?
Yeah, I always have these ideas and I'm always—
Throw one out.
No, oh.
Mine is always like, I always run through San Francisco and see homeless people on the street, and I imagine I'm gonna be homeless just like them at some point. I better watch out, work harder, run faster. And I don't always have an idea, but I know I'll come up with something if I need to.
If you need to, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have one that's like your own little fantasy that that's what you do?
Like, oh, like a recent one. It's just like there should be steamers everywhere, like coin operated steamers, like at airports.
Instead of irons.
Yeah.
Yes. Airports would be nice. Just a freaking hotel.
Hotels,
just
yeah.
Every hotel should have a steamer.
They
so
should
much easier
be like
than,
Main Street.
Yeah. What would you do with the website? Sell a steamer, your own steamer?
Yeah, just make them really super mainstream. I think that's the thing in the States. They are pretty easy. They're little portable. In Australia, they're like this big, and no one has
bigger
them.
Than a person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, taller than a person anyway, but thinner, obviously. Yeah, so you'd say you would create steamers that are travel and
but
all
make
this.
It just part of like a thing that you would just, I wish I probably shouldn't have said this out. This is brilliant.
This
but
is
like,
real, yes.
You should, like how every girl has a curler and hair dryer, you should just have a steamer. And not everyone does.
Even like a small one that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I hate as a man who's now old enough that I shouldn't have to ever iron anything.
No,
to sit like I'm going, and then I have to go stop and do my ironing. Because this shirt, this is like not the type of shirt you need to iron. I had to freaking iron it last night. I'm an adult, I shouldn't have to do this
anymore.
And
there's always an extra crease. You think you got it? No,
yeah.
There's more.
And this is like a long sleeve t-shirt, essentially, with like, look, it's actually intentionally ripped at the edges, right? You like this shirt, by the way?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's not too bad. All right, I like that. So, whatever your idea is, bring it to hostgator.com/mixergy. You should too. If you ever need to start over, a friend wants a copy, you just send them hostgator.com/mixergy. They get the lowest hosting package price available from Hostgator. One-click install of WordPress, a bunch of other stuff.
All right,
right?
Easy.
And it'll frankly be great for me because I get credit every time these people sign up. I love it. And that's why I want to make sure that I only sign great sponsors. Hostgator.com/mixergy. By the way, I should say, the steamer, the reason I'm on this because it's so brilliant. You just plug it in, wait for the steam to go up, hold it next to your shirt, no need to get the details right.
Yeah.
It just evens itself out. Unless you have a real dress shirt that's like a man's dress shirt where everything needs to be ironed exactly right. Creep.
Yeah.
I'm going off on
even
this.
Then, I mean.
Where'd the idea come from for Show Pony?
Oh, so steamers? Show Pony, so basically I never even really cared about retail or fashion, to be honest. It was just because this girl with the first business wanted to run these pop-up stores. So basically I had this, and as you mentioned, we got all this PR because I think the reason we even got PR in the first place is because she has a very like traditional way of looking at things. Because she got made redundant during the global financial crisis, that she had a chip on her shoulder and wanted to really just like prove to people that she used to work with and her friends how well she's doing. So we hemorrhaged all this money to PR.
Oh, got
yeah.
it, yeah.
And then when we decided, so all of that became useless because the fat boy was gone. But then I've just spammed all of my friends on Facebook with like this article, like just like, and back then it's like, I mean, even now, but back then it was even a bigger deal because like I feel like this current wave of entrepreneurship has been quite like is a lot later has come a lot later in Australia. So back then I had one friend that had his own business. So like it seemed people were like, wow, you're some kind of retail guru.
You're posting on Facebook and social. I guess it was largely Facebook at the time. Posting on Facebook that you've got this new article about your new business. And there's another article about your new business. And so people started to see you as someone who is in the fashion space and good at business. And other people are saying that you're good at business. People who can actually, you know, write on paper-based magazines. It was that type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And you had a bunch of it. Okay, so you said, I have all this publicity. How do I use this? I'm already
no,
in
you're
this
giving
space.
Me way too no? much credit.
Okay.
So basically, I had that. I have one friend who had his own business. And I hit him up because I thought, look, no one else is going to give me a job. Maybe he will give me a job. And then I can probably like, you know, I'm like a quick learner and a like a good operator. Maybe okay. he'll give me a job. I can work my way up really quickly. And then he could also give me, you know, I can really learn about how to start a business from him. And then because he, and he kept insisting that I meet his other friend who wanted to start a business, a fashion business. And I kept saying no, like I was insisting that I didn't want that because the last thing I wanted to do was a Fatboy 2.0. Like I literally just failed at a retail store.
And now you want to get me back into this
yeah.
again. Right.
Which, you know, now it makes sense. Like, yeah, you just made those mistakes, take those learnings and do it better. But at the time, I'm like, this is the last thing I want to do because I already failed. And then so, but then he kept insisting because he has the impression that I'm a retail guru. And he told his friend and she's actually, she really interested in meeting me because she's seen these articles, which, and also like the marketing side is probably not her forte. So she thought that I could bring something to the table.
So she's just wooing you and pushing you and you finally say, okay, fine. I'm going to the cafe anyway. I'm wearing a business suit. I got to have something to do with all this.
Yeah.
So you start to do it. And the first version was called, was on what website?
It
was
Big Cartel.
Big Cartel, the hosting platform.
Yeah.
That's what you hosted on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you went to Big Cartel. You got clothes from where?
My new business partner had a supplier contact.
Okay, where?
And then so she's already in the fashion industry, but she wasn't in retail, so she wanted to get into retail with someone, so she already just had the contact. That's probably like so lucky.
Okay.
Like, because getting supplies is hard and takes time and takes money. But basically, when we were doing Fatboy, we learned about this term that was called consignment, which I never even learned about. And now I was like, well, why don't we just pitch consignment to this supplier? And because she had the relationship, she probably showed them PR articles, you know?
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, we'll try consignment. So it meant it was very manual because every day I had to go in and physically pick up all the items to fulfill the orders from the last 24 hours. So it was very like laborious and manual. And you know, as soon as we made enough money to actually just buy stock outright, we stopped doing that. But it really, you know, I was $60,000 in debt at this point, so.
Technically, that's not consignment though, right? If consignment is they give it to you and then you only pay for what
yeah.
you sell, you are basically getting buy after the
yeah.
fact. Versus before, where you were buying the product, keeping it in your parents' garage,
yeah.
taking it out when you need to sell, putting it back in the garage when you're done for the day. Got it. All right. That's the way the model was working. How did you get customers?
So our first customer was via Facebook from one of the models that we got for free. It was from her Facebook friends. So it wasn't, but getting that first sale was amazing because even though it was just one of the model's friends, it proved like a month after my ex-business partner told me that no one shops online, that in fact people do shop online. So I was like, suck it.
Did you feel confident at this point? Because
no.
you were deep in debt? No, you didn't.
Nah.
And so the fact that this sale happened helped to revive a little bit of your self-esteem.
Yeah.
It did, okay. And so then what did you do to get more customers?
We started just pushing things more on Facebook. So
you were big on Facebook. Let's go back to this MySpace thing. You were big on MySpace?
No, I wasn't, sorry. I wasn't big on MySpace. I just spent a lot of time on MySpace.
Designing it, making it look good.
Yeah, like, you know, I had the slideshows, the music. You just play around with all the features. So that's how I knew how to use HTML, which is how we built the business.
Did you like the tech part of the business? Did you like the social media part of the business?
I think I didn't even fully understand social media back then, but yeah, I like how it connects people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was an only child, so growing up, especially when we moved to Australia, I felt very lonely. And then also we actually lived out west for a few years, so then I was very far away from everyone. So besides school, you can feel very alone. So I just love how social media connects you with people. So that's what I loved about it, and that's what I loved about MySpace. You know, you can constantly be an MSN, an ICQ. You can constantly be talking to someone.
Meanwhile, now you guys have how many Instagram followers?
1.6.
Isn't that huge?
Yeah.
And Facebook fans, is that still a thing for you?
Yeah, I've got like 1.2 maybe. Now it's like, oh my God, so much stuff to check.
What do you mean? Oh, to keep going back into
yeah,
social and
there's
checking.
DMs and there's Prime Message and
yeah,
blah,
I see
blah,
you're
blah,
even
blah.
On, you're doing Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
It's a significant portion of your traffic. Look, Facebook, I wouldn't have brought up except 65% of the social
yeah.
media. Yeah,
we're Australia's most engaged brand on Facebook. Yeah.
It's unreal. Okay. And so this was you in the beginning doing that, and then you created your own model competition.
Yeah.
What was that?
So I was like, I was watching America's Next Top Model one night, and then they had
Let me stop on that. Why were you watching that? You're not a model, like, obsessive person. Were you trying to learn the space?
No, I just love reality TV shows. I love reality TV shows.
You know what? When I've been in hotels, I also will end up on that freaking stuff. It's that and house flipping and anything where you're just kind of making something and progressing, add some competition. Yeah. I'm with you. Okay, so it wasn't the fashion. It was just reality TV.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're watching it, and what's the idea that you got?
And then, so they had this new category where they had an audience favorites that they asked people to vote on Facebook for their favorite. And so this is when Facebook Fangate was on. So it meant that you had to like a page in order to engage with it. So I thought, you know, and also we needed models anyway, that we would ask our followers who are all mostly in our demographic to enter this competition. So the first few entries were quite easy. They would enter themselves. And then they started sharing this competition with all of their friends to try and get votes. And so, I mean, this thing became quite common afterwards, but we had a first mover advantage. So they would get all of their friends to do it, and then some of their friends would enter themselves and then reach out to their entire network to vote for them. Some of them created Facebook events, Facebook groups, and then so it just had this amazing ripple effect. Uh-huh. And then so we paid nothing. It cost nothing. And then in the space of a month, went from 3,000 followers to 20,000 followers.
And this was at a time when on Facebook, if you had a follower, you could post something and it would show up.
They would actually show them.
So would you sell in the feed to that group?
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
And you actually got sales that way.
Yeah.
You hit how much in sales? I think it was $20,000.
Yeah.
From that?
Yeah.
A month.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Which is fantastic.
Did you feel great at that point?
Yeah.
You did. And you and co-founder, were you friends at that point?
Yeah, we were great.
You were good. Okay.
And I think the best thing was, so not only did it, it was great for social proof at that point, because, you know, this is when you're, like you said before, like, you're like, how do you get people to believe in this, like, no-name brand? We were lucky because we did have a store as well. So we did have a physical presence in the city and as well, having the 20,000 followers.
How'd you get roped into having another store? I thought you were like all online.
It was, I like low cost investments. It was $600 to fit out and then $2,000 in rent a week.
And what were you thinking, you'd get customers from that? Or was it just to show that you had a store to the
I wasn't like, customers? I still didn't fully, the online model, like that's the thing. It still felt quite fresh at that time. So I didn't, like I was still like dabbling in online. Like I wasn't like 100% backing it, I guess.
Got it. And did people actually come into the stores?
Yeah, but it wasn't, definitely online was way better.
Yeah, and this, by the way, this isn't like olden times. We're talking, you launched a company in 2010.
Yeah.
So people were buying online. It just wasn't, it didn't feel real to you. Not for clothing, not for fashion.
Honestly, like in Australia, I hate to say this, like it wasn't that obvious.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah, like my business partner didn't think anyone shopped. Like honestly, I don't want to talk. But the thing is, I wasn't part of like any like business communities. So I'm just there with my friends who are either corporate or so at uni.
Yeah.
And people didn't really believe in it. So, and I think that's what's great about surrounding yourself with like-minded people. People also like, you know, like people who are more connected to this world. Yeah. That would have probably really helped. But it took me like at least a year after starting before finding business friends. But yeah, I mean, I think so, but you know, so the competition was amazing. And also for the fact that like it really validated that social media works, and just having, and also again, giving myself that confidence that I'm not like an idiot because the business failed. And I was really like, just thought that I was an idiot for like quitting my job as well. So you kind of sometimes just need that bit of confidence boost.
Who was managing the website?
I was.
You were?
Yeah.
And you weren't on a platform that was easy to use.
It's
easy enough.
It was, there wasn't that much you can do with it, but it was enough at that time.
Are you still on Big Cartel?
No.
No, okay, I
think
so.
I think it has like 100 products maximum.
Okay, what platform are you on now?
Magento.
Ah, wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's not an easy platform, but it's...
No, it's not.
It's made for huge companies though.
Yeah.
Okay, I should have said Magento too in that ad for HostGator.
Yeah.
All right, next time, because they do host them. All right, so I see where you were. How did you go down from that? You hit 20,000. Is it the Facebook algorithm change?
I think sometimes with all businesses, you try all your ideas at the very start, and you kind of exhaust all of your business ideas that you have when you first start the business. You've already spammed all your friends. You just kind of like run dry of ideas. And I think also at the time we actually opened our second store, and that was became a cash cow. It was making 10K. It was three racks of clothing in the Westfield, but it was making like $10,000 a week, which is a lot.
Wow. Wait, Westfield, is that tall building with the thing at the top?
Yeah, it's down to Center Point. Yeah.
What's it called? The Eye Tower or something?
Center Point Tower? Sydney Eye, is it?
Yeah, Sydney Eye. Yeah. I think so. Okay, you had a place in there.
At the very bottom.
And it wasn't expensive?
It was like $1,000 a week in rent.
Okay,
that's... No fit out cost, three racks of clothing, making 10K. And because that was just making so much money, I think that was distracting my focus as well. So online got as low as, over the next 7 months, it got down to $5,000 a month, which is two orders a day, which is...
Nothing. Okay, and then your business partner, she had another business at the time?
Yeah, the business that she already had. That started taking
What type of business?
Just in fashion.
Manufacturing or selling?
Yeah, along those lines.
Okay, so she had that and that was taking off. Meanwhile, Show Pony was not taking off. It was still called Show Pony?
Show Pony at that time, and she just really needed to focus. It would not be fair on her business. And the people that worked with her, if she kept devoting time to this like store that was making two orders a day.
Okay. So she said, you know what? I'm done. It was a little acrimonious though, right?
Yeah, it got a little bit, but I think, we're very good friends now.
You are.
She was just like there. Like,
if you called her right now, would she take the call?
Oh, 100%.
She would, 100%.
100%. Okay. Yeah, went to her hands.
Is she jealous a little bit?
No, I don't think so. I think that's what's really amazing.
But you're doing
about
well
her.
And you're online famous. No.
I don't think she, I'm not sure if she likes all that. I don't think she would like, she would hate to be
she'd get nervous.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
And I think she's just like, her business is doing well. And I think she also, I think maybe the first year after we parted ways, we didn't really speak, and then I think she was the one that like reached out, and I think that was really big of her, because I kind of always felt a bit, it was very big of her, and...
Because you felt what when it didn't work out? You felt like she thought she was too good for this business, and she was wrong for leaving you alone?
I think maybe because of my ex-business partner, I thought like it just would... Because at that point, I hadn't rekindled with my ex-business partner, but we have since then as well. So I wasn't sure which way it was going to go, and I think she's just been so... I think we both realize how hard it is to find like-minded people, and that we've been through something really amazing together, and that, you know, what bonded us in the first place, we still have.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you were alone. Did you feel insecure again? Did you feel like, oh, this is all on me?
I did, because all of a sudden, like, well, you know, if I fail now...
Then I'm a real failure.
I'm the common thread, and everything will be back on me, and like I will get blamed for both businesses failing.
And that's a big thing in your head. Yeah. If you fail, it's everyone else. Who is it? Is it your parents blaming
you? My parents,
you,
everyone.
Friends?
Like, you know, when I quit my job, everyone thought I was an idiot. They were like, "What do you know about?"
Was there a specific
fashion?
Friend who thought that?
All of them.
Specifically, yeah. They said, "What do you know about fashion?" Told you.
Yeah,
were
like why? Just yeah. No one was like no one. And even if people if they said good on you, they wouldn't have believed it, because I wouldn't, like, it really seemed stupid at the time. I honestly can't even.
Was that a motivator for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was, like, you go work every day saying, I'm going to show them this specific person and that specific person, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spite definitely, like, gave me the first $5 million rev.
Really? Oh, that's great. That's a line right there. That should be the subject line.
Yeah.
The headline. All right, let me talk about my second sponsor. Imagine, for example, you guys have a mobile app?
No.
You don't? All right, imagine you said, look, we need a mobile app. Or...
Oh, sorry.
Is there a mobile app?
Mobile app, sorry. Yeah.
Well, how do you guys call it?
A mobile app. You say mobile, right?
I said mobile, whatever. You have an app for the iPhone?
Yeah.
You do, okay, all right. Then let's pick another topic. Imagine you say, you know what? Magento is good, but it's actually not working for us. We need to create our own platform, and here are the things that I would like. I'm the boss. I need it. And your people on the team said, we've never built that before, but we can figure it out. You say, no, I don't want people who are figuring it out on my dime.
Yeah.
So you go to TopTal, and you say, TopTal, I want people who built this type of platform exactly like this, my ideal thing. And I want people who've moved from Magento to something else. Bring them to me. TopTal would then go bring a bunch of developers who've done this maybe a few different times. You get to talk to them. You get to interview them. If you're happy with them, you get to hire them and say, the same thing you did over there, do for me this way with my own needs. And then my people can take over. Make sure they can, because I like my people. And you could do that. Or you can say, I like some of these TopTal people. I'm going to keep some of them on and have the rest go.
Oh, you can keep some of them.
You can keep them long term. You could actually keep them and say,
we have such a big dev constraint. So this is like, I'm going to go and Google this.
I've interviewed several entrepreneurs. I said, why are you hiring from TopTal? You have so many developers. Said, yeah, but we have ideas that are the side projects. I don't have enough people to do that. So they go to TopTal. So for you, anyone else who's listening, if you need to hire developers, really the best of the best. We're not talking about cheap developers. We're talking really high quality developers at a reasonable price. Don't go to TopTal.com. Go to TopTal.com/Mixergy. They're going to give you 80 hours of top. This is a big one. 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours. I talk very fast, don't I?
That's right.
In addition to the no risk trial period of up to 2 weeks, no risk trial. By the way, that makes sense. Like if you had to repeat the name of the company, could you with my fast talking ways?
What is it called? TopTal?
Yeah.
.com/Mixergy.
Mixergy. So TOPTAL.com/MIXERGY.
TOPTO what?
Yeah, I need to talk to top like top of your head.
Yeah.
Okay. Tal like talent.
Oh,
tal. TOPTAL.com/Mixergy.
That's like top town, top talent. Okay.
Yeah, freaking A. You know what? I actually will listen to my own interviews, and when it's recorded on these mics, I kind of like it. But then I go, I don't even know what you're saying, Andrew. Yeah. Slow the frick down. Like, what is this? Top what? For everything else, I kind of like it because I usually listen to podcasts and other stuff on 1.5 speed or 2 speed.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't need to do it with me, but. When you need to enunciate, Andrew, stop for a second. You're a fast talker too. Australians are not fast talkers like us.
Oh, I've like interviewed people and I'm sitting there with like someone else at work and they're like, Alpha's like, you didn't like this person, did you? They talk too slow. I'm like, oh man, I got so bored.
Right, and so will you not work with them if they talk too slow?
Oh, I mean, it depends if I have to work closely with them. I mean, ideally not. I just think it's...
I need to speak.
I mean, it's merit-based. I don't want to say like, but I just think I can't. Yeah,
I noticed you walked in here and you said, I've got a phone call to take. You took the call. I didn't pay attention to what you said because I don't know what. I think I was just exhausted and I enjoyed having a little bit of time. But I said, this woman talks fast like me. And that's just a regular call. I thought maybe you were talking fast because you had to talk with me. But no, that's just your speed.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. All right. Here you are alone. Uh-huh. Business is doing 2 orders a day. You're now stuck in a retail store when you don't believe in the future of retail stores.
Yeah.
What do you do to turn things around? How do you suddenly go from that to something that's doing well?
So I literally then did everything because I didn't have the luxury of time to like...
Meaning like a lot of experiments.
Yeah, so we started running. We started running Google Ads. We optimized.
Let me pause
here.
It's you. It's when you buy Google Ads, what were you doing that was working for you? What?
Oh man, this is like 2011, so I have no idea. I just put $50 in.
$50?
Just to start, and then... Okay. Just kind of went from there.
I'm just saying, look, let me see what could happen. Maybe if somebody's looking for dresses, or it wasn't dresses, what was
it? And it's not easy to use the back end. Like, man.
No, it's not.
It's crazy. But my business, I remember my business partner was, I told her I wanted to run Google Ads because, you know, everyone, I've read about them. And then she's like, you know, let's just like start making money before we spend more. And, you know, I'm like, well, God, like, anyway, so then once I was by myself, I just started doing like a bunch of things. And I think ultimately that's what it was. Like, cause I, one, had a fear of failure and I didn't want to like, it's hard to explain your actions and your mistakes to someone else. But then once it's myself, I only had to answer to myself. And then I tried all these things. What seemed to have worked, you just kind of test really quickly and then just double down on whatever's working.
So here's what I got. I've got a list of things that in my research here. Uh-huh. Remove shipping, meaning free shipping.
Yeah.
Did that work, by the way?
So the problem is we did so many things.
And you
I don't really
what
know exactly what it was, but it was all working.
Because that's pretty risky.
Yeah. Okay. But no, but the thing is like, what we've got now is like $50 shipping, but minimum product back then, because it wasn't a big store. It's not like we had a lot of accessories. It's actually not that big of a loss.
Because people aren't buying that much.
Mm.
Okay, all right, so free shipping.
No, sorry, the minimum like product, the average product value was relatively high because we didn't have any low value items.
Oh, okay, it's not like you're giving free shipping on a tiny item. People are spending a lot of money. So how much, like what was the
price? Oh, not
that
much, thanks. Everything was like $50 to $70.
And what kind of things were you selling back then?
Just shirts, pants, mainly dresses, knits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Optimized Facebook ads, did Google AdWords. You got better at buying clothes for the store.
Mm-hmm.
You said you improved tracking.
Yeah.
Improved packaging.
Yeah.
To make it look nicer so people want to reorder.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant? Okay, more frequent social posts, did that work for you?
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah.
And you're the type of person who has the patience to go and post online all the time?
Yeah.
You do? What would you post?
Like, back then, it's like, you know, cat memes.
Really?
Just
anything to be public?
No, there's like, it's a mix of like, you want to do a mix, but like, it's going to be fun, it's going to be, there's definitely a lot of lifestyle posts.
About your lifestyle?
No, just like whatever, like honestly, whatever gets good engagement, because that's what people want to see. And that's the best thing with social media. You don't need to like work it out. You just post it and then you can kind of...
And if it's dead, you didn't feel bad about it? If no one liked it, you didn't say it?
Well, no one saw it.
Okay. Your stuff is really well done, but you know what's well done about it? It's just beautiful photos, right? I'm looking at it. Let me see. Where did I find your Instagram? I'll find it in a second. You don't link to it from your... Oh, here. I thought you did. Okay. So I'm going to go to your Instagram right now and I'm going to describe what I see. And it's just instagram.com/shopo. So look, it's just like photos of beautiful looking women wearing great clothes in interesting environments. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good shots. Are they sending it in or are you guys doing professional photography?
We do our own.
Yeah.
And there's like some influencer regrams.
It feels like it's fairly easy now. What was it in the beginning? You wouldn't go to Instagram and do a cat photo, would you?
No, but you know, we've got that like funny posts. Like really relatable posts. I think they were really big back then and not everyone was doing them. It's a lot more common now.
Got it.
I think what's great back then is like, we were just like, the big companies were reluctant to try these things. And we were like, whatever, just do them. And now kind of it's harder because everyone's doing them.
Yeah.
So we got to keep taking risks.
What's the risky thing now?
More like video content. It's
more like what content?
Video.
Oh, video content.
Just trying to do stuff that's different. It's risky more that it takes more time, like the actual effort.
Yeah.
You know, because everything comes at an opportunity cost of doing something else.
You know what? So I saw some of your videos. Mm-hmm. You had some that were good and had like 100 views or something random like that.
Yeah.
And then you have some random one where you're doing hot sauce, which I didn't even hit play on because who cares? You're having hot sauce.
Yeah.
That got tons of views.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the stuff that you're talking about. You could spend a lot of time on it and get nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you just got to keep doing them.
Wow, look at this. Top quote. I just went to Lazy CEO, which comes up you. I'm going to ask you why in a moment. Top question on Google is, how much is Shopo worth? Is this right? Is Shopo worth sales of $30 million last year? No, they're already wrong. Impressive Instagram following. Ms. Lu herself is worth an estimated $32 million.
I don't know whether.
Right? Because you'd have to figure out how much the company would be worth. Are you still the only owner of the company?
Yeah.
I just saw you get uncomfortable for the first time in our whole conversation as I showed you that, right? what's the deal with the Lazy CEO?
I mean, I started my Instagram account pretty late in like 2004, 2005, and Shane Lu was taken.
But you weren't late to the WordPress.com world. Look at you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started Instagram late.
Yeah. And so, had to just think of a unique URL. So.
Got it. And so that's what it became. And then it also became.
And it kind of seemed
Twitter
fitting. And I think people just really liked it. People really responded well to it.
Why do you feel you're lazier? What's the point of, what are you trying to say with the lazy part of it?
Just, I mean, it's kind of about finding the right people to do stuff for you. Like to work, like you find people who are better at what you can do in different areas.
That's what it is. That you went through a period of, I have to do everything. Damn it, nobody else is gonna understand how to do Google AdWords and that it makes sense even for a business like me. I'm gonna prove them right, or I'm gonna prove myself wrong and do something else, to a place of saying, damn it, Jane, settle down for a minute. Let's other people do it. And that transition, I feel like internally, I'm psychoanalyzing you, but all I know is like an hour of you, but I feel like internally you were thinking, I can't pass this on to other people. That's lazy. That's wrong. I should be doing it. I'm the person, right?
I think growing up in China is like, it's very much about working harder.
Yes.
Not smarter necessarily.
Right.
It's about like rote learning and like just like pulling in longer hours.
You know what? I get it. What was the point where you finally had to say, I gotta stop this? I am not going to continue. I need to bring someone else on to do something that's a little menial, but I'm gonna do it.
So it actually, it's pretty stupid. So it was like 2 months after. So basically my first month after I took over, we went from $5,000 to $9,000. So almost doubled. And then the next month we made $40,000.
Okay.
And at this point I was like, wow, I had a trip booked the next month to go to Miami Ultra Music Factory. Ultra Music Festival. Okay. I don't know why the word fashion is in there.
Okay.
Anyway, and then, I booked this trip when things weren't even going that well, which is pretty stupid. I couldn't really afford to go. I told my friends, I'm like, look, I can't really go. I've got this business to run. Everything's taking off and I'm the only person that can do this. And then, but I've got like a really rubbery elbow and they convinced me to go anyway. So I'm like, oh crap, I need to hire someone.
Okay, do this while I'm away. How long were you going to be away?
Like almost 2 weeks. I literally went just to go party, which sounds so stupid and negligent.
Is this a photo from that?
No, that's from just camping.
Okay, all right.
But like, yeah, no, I got this girl who was working in one of our stores to come in. She would go down to my parents' house and then into their garage. And then she had to work in my parents' garage. And then when I came back, you know, like, she definitely made mistakes. But then I realized I came back, you know, nothing was really broken. And I realized that, like, I had come back to a business that had systems and processes so that it could scale and grow. And so that was like a turning point, it was a pivotal moment in our growth journey.
Uh-huh.
Just like raving in Ultra.
You're raving. She's running the business. Did you have systems before?
No.
She created systems.
No, I had to.
You came back. Things were working. You said, you know what? Things are working okay. I'll create some systems so that we can do more of this. But yeah. I want this. And in order to get this, I need systems and processes.
Exactly.
How did you know that you needed that? Sometimes you act like you don't know much about business. And I think the woman worked for major accounting firms doing auditing. She knows business.
Yeah. I think it's just about problem solving and not necessarily like reading or applying a term that you've read or heard about. Sometimes it's ultimately, if you're just problem solving, like, you know, I look back with hindsight and I can see all these things that I learned from the first business failing and how that's pivot, like how that's turned into what we have now, and how all these things that we've done are things that, like, I'll read a book and I'll be like, oh, that's what we did then. It actually applies. I can apply theory to the chaos of what we were doing back then. But ultimately, it's just problem solving, and I'm just responding quickly to mistakes and obstacles.
You're not figuring it out for the first time and coming up with a solution that maybe works, maybe doesn't. You're doing something to shortcut, aren't you? No.
I mean, I guess a bit of both. I guess it's. I mean,
you're not the person sitting around Googling and saying, "All right, other people saw this. How do I solve it?" You don't have friends from your old accounting days who you're going to?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think we're putting in systems.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it as one example of how you work. I'm trying to get a sense of who
you
are.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back then. I think you just, I mean, there's a few things. I mean, I definitely, so it's actually my general manager, who's our 2IC, she joined a few months later and she's like the queen of systems and processes.
Okay.
Like, so she definitely came in and built out all these foundations, and that's probably, we were butting heads at first because I just wanted to keep growing and I'm like, oh my God, let's just chase the money. And she would be like, no, let's slow down, let's write a manual. I'm like, who has time to write a manual? Just learn it. And then, you know, I remember we had like our first staff meeting. I'm like, oh my God, do we need the staff meeting? Just like, and yeah, so we,
I think we're... That person's wonderful. How'd you find her?
She's so great. We just met her through... So that's when I first kind of joined a startup crowd. And I didn't really like her at first, but... but yeah,
why'd you hire her if you didn't like her at first?
Pardon?
Why'd you hire her if you didn't like her at first?
I didn't like her at first. And then I ended up having to drive her to... we were both invited to this holiday house, and I was just, you know, I was just making business friends, and I thought, hey, like, I mean, just, I was doing everything to try and, like, make more friends, and I was being sociable, and I wrote in this Facebook group, like, hey, does anyone want to lift? We're going up to Palm Beach. And she said yes. I'm like, oh, crap, this is so boring. I have to sit in this car with this boring girl for 2 hours, because I met her at a party, and I didn't really think that, like, I thought she was pretty boring. And she just was a bit cold to me, towards me. Anyway, so I even got another friend who like invited to this party just so he can sit in this car and just keep the conversation going. So I picked him up, and like me and her ended up hitting it off so much that he fell asleep in the back, and we just like didn't stop talking the whole time, and we just bonded.
Got it.
And that's when it kind of like, so it's interesting like how, you know, I think the thing is there's no proper route to doing anything. You just have to like, it's almost like everything is like a stepping stone from one thing to another. And like, you know, when you look back, there's like probably a direct path that you can see how everything has fallen into place. But when you're like forward looking, you're just literally going from the one, you know, one thing to the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense why taking time off would suddenly lead to one of your biggest business discoveries. It doesn't make sense why having one business fail would lead to this business succeeding.
Yeah.
But you couldn't have had Shopo without, what was it called? Big Daddy.
Fat Boy.
Fat Boy. Where'd you get the name Fat Boy?
Oh, this business partner was like, did you have any nicknames in high school? And I was like, yeah, Fat Boy.
Fat Boy.
And she just loved that. Wow. And then we just did it.
I like it because it was a nickname, but isn't that like a type of motorcycle?
Yeah, I think it's like
a type of
like a couch thing that's called Fat Boy. Like
you should adjust the mic again.
Oh, sorry.
No. I should be miking people better, but it's uncomfortable for me to reach into people's spaces and no, you're fine. I want you to get comfortable with that. I need to learn how to do it better. Mm. But it is kind of awkward. I don't like touching people like that.
At the start of an interview as well before.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And then what I refuse to do is, we're talking to lavalier mics for anyone who's listening to us. We're at an Airbnb in Sydney. And the reason I don't want a mic that sits on a table is I want you to do what you did before. There are times when you just lean back when you're thinking about something.
Yeah.
Times when you're leaning forward when you're like in your face about something. And I want that movement without you thinking about it. So
no,
I'd rather deal with the issues.
Plus you have like these two microphones in front of us, so it doesn't even, like it doesn't feel as natural of a conversation.
Yeah. Does it feel natural that I've got earphones in?
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah. Nobody seems bothered by that.
No.
Good. I'm glad. And I am monitoring our audio for that reason. I'm looking at like your top referring sites. Mm-hmm. I get Aftership, right? This is your shipping tracking.
Yeah.
So your people want to know where their package is and they come back. You like this?
Yeah.
This
is great.
It's kind of weird. You can see my data. BuzzFeed, you got articles written about you and about lots of different fashion stores. Afterpay, I was going to get the founder of Afterpay to do an interview with me because I didn't understand his thing.
Oh, yeah, Nick. He's great.
He is great.
He's amazing.
He's going through something right now, like a business thing. It's not a bad thing, so couldn't do the interview. I don't understand Afterpay. We don't have this in the U.S.
Afterpay has launched in the U.S., actually. Last year, yeah.
So here, I was fascinated by what he did to spread. So the way Afterpay works is, how does it work?
So it's basically, it's just spreads, it's really funny, actually. It spreads out your payment over four fortnights, over 8 weeks, and what's different is there are actually a few other products like that, but not as simplified, and just they do not have the same cult following. Like, people love Afterpay. People go, there's literally a cult following. People go crazy for it.
And so like, the way it works is, I can't afford to buy something, or I'd rather not pay for it all at once. I say, I want this shirt.
Yeah.
And I will keep making payments until I've covered the payment plus a little bit of extra, and then I get the shirt, right?
No, you get it immediately.
You get it immediately. Oh, okay. So the way I've been seeing it in like Forbes was they called it layaway for the online generation.
Mm-hmm.
But layaway would work where you keep putting money up and then you get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what they're doing is they're saying you get to buy it on credit.
Yeah.
They send it to you, you pay it, and we're capping how much you can pay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're capping our interest on you. So
there's
it's not
no
like
interest.
It can go forever and
so
ever.
That's I think that's why their
but
model
they call
is
it
great.
Interest, don't they? They don't call it interest.
I think that's if you're late. Whereas some other businesses have like a fee, so then it feels like a credit card. And I think in this, so the thing about Afterpay is we were actually really late to the Afterpay bandwagon. And it's because this is where it's my mistake of being in like not really understanding our customers. I've always had credit cards because I started working when I was 18 and I didn't understand why you wouldn't have.
Right,
too. You would just not put everything in your credit card. But no, this generation people have debit cards and people really just like don't trust credit cards. We're in a generation where people, that generation, they don't really trust credit cards, and that's why Afterpay is great, because other companies, they even their sign-up form feels like you're applying for credit, whereas Afterpay, it's like a culture of shopping online, and so they don't even need to really bother, especially in Australia, signing up new companies, because their customers would just go, their customers like voluntarily will hound a particular company.
That's part of their movement. They created this, no one was using them. Then they got people to start demanding it. I even found, I was pitching the founder to do an interview here, and I even found old articles on development sites about why is it that BigCommerce won't accept Afterpay? I've got to switch away because it won't do Afterpay and stuff like that. It was fascinating. So they're sending you traffic.
Yeah.
I wish I knew they were coming to the US. That would have been my hook to get him to, or that they were in the US. That would have been my hook to get him on. I get
He's in San Fran.
He is? Okay, so I'm maybe I just sure, do an interview there. I just go into his office with the video and he's talking it up. Okay. Then I see rstyle.me.
Yeah.
This is what? It's a promotional company.
Yeah.
They're it's affiliate management company.
Yeah.
So affiliates are sending you traffic?
Yeah.
And doing what? What are they doing? What are these affiliates doing that are sending
you
traffic? Well,
so they get, affiliates basically get a commission for sending traffic.
And so they're bloggers who are doing this? They're Instagrammers? What
are
they? So
this is, essentially, yeah.
It's everything. It's all that.
Yeah.
What's big for you? What are the biggest affiliates doing that's interesting?
I mean, UniDays is one that gives discounts for students. That's a pretty big affiliate.
Got it. So if they buy on your from your store, then the student gets some money, gets the discount.
Yeah.
And they're kind of splitting their commission with the student.
Yeah, because they have a directory and like, yeah.
That's a good idea. What else?
In terms of affiliates.
Yeah, because it looks like affiliates are sending you a considerable amount
of
traffic.
Oh, no, that's just that specific affiliate.
Oh, really?
Oh, these are all...
No, that's our style. Don't rewardstyle.com.
Yeah. Let me go back.
Oh, here. There you go. Look at my notes. I love that you get to see my notes. There's so much work I did on this.
I mean... All right. I mean, I don't think these are... I think that's the only affiliate.
Okay, here's the other thing that I saw that was interesting. You've got a messenger bot.
Yeah, we just started. It's
and
good
it's
to see it soon.
It's kicking off a considerable amount of traffic.
Yeah.
What are you doing with it?
Oh, man, I've been wanting this messenger bot for 3 years.
This was you pushing for it?
No, I mean, I didn't do it this time. I pushed it 3 years ago and didn't go anywhere. I'm so glad it's doing well.
Wow.
Yeah.
What, so how did you come up with the idea to do that?
Just as a consumer, I think most of it is not necessarily just myself, not to take credit, but like we have a whole team of people that are consumers in our demographic. So we'll see something like, oh, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And I think, you know, even as I was coming in, I was like having a bitch about my life right now. Before we started, I was like, yeah, there's just, we got too many competing projects right now. How do we prioritize? Which is the biggest project I'm working on right now. But basically, you know, how do you know what to really push through?
And that's one of the things that
you
can
do anything. It's just, what do you do?
I'm hunting down info on you all as we talk. Yeah. It's kind of weird because you can see me. Usually people don't know that I'm doing this. But look, I'm seeing you do visual website optimizer.
Built with.
You're doing visual website optimizer because what you want to do is do a lot of A-B tests on your site. Yeah. That tells me that you're still heavily into marketing, got Hotjar and all that other stuff. What else do I want to find out?
So what does this tell you? Because I feel like there's companies here I didn't thought we weren't using anymore.
I'm sure you are. You're not. And it's kind of weird. People still keep code on their site from old software that they don't use anymore. And then the companies behind them still get that insight. Like, you're not using AdThis anymore. AdThis is dead. It's not dead, like dead, but you're not using them.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. So I can see you're using Magento. I think that... So
I'm learning here.
This is fantastic. Look, I can see what kind of payment you take.
Yeah.
What I think is being done that's interesting with this is one of my past guests, a guy named Nathan Latka.
Yeah.
I get emails from a freaking guy all the time. Here's what he does.
You just like map out what everyone is using and what's the common thread? Like, what are we not using?
Why are we using this when they're using that? Should we actually continue doing this one thing? Like, I could see you do Taboola ads, right? You probably don't even know this stuff anymore because you're not that deep into this.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what he does. He saw that there's this piece of software. I think this is what he did.
Yeah.
Piece of software called Proof. You shop on a site and it says, Jane from Sydney just bought. Boom, thing goes down. Little pop-up comes up. Andrew from San Francisco just bought, right? You've seen that.
Yeah.
It's fairly easy to copy.
Yeah.
I think what he did was he copied it. Then he went to Built With and he bought a list of all the sites that are using Proof. And their email addresses. And since I'm using it, I got one of his emails. It says, hey, Andrew, I saw that you're using Proof. Did you know we have a competing piece of software that's actually cheaper and has these extra features? Do you want to sign up? Click here.
Yeah, wow.
That's what's being done with this. All right, I could talk about this forever. Let me close out with something personal. Do you do anything personal anymore for fun? Look, your stuff goes on forever.
Yeah.
This is literally the longest
Is this slowing down
that
our
I've
website?
Ever seen.
It is, isn't it?
It probably is slowing down your website. I love that you care about this. This gives me a sense of your management. You're still knee-deep in this. What time do you end working at this?
I'm going through a probably... I Probably right now, I've been working till, did you ask for my working hours?
I'm like, okay. Not working out, but.
Working hours.
Yeah. When are you done?
I've been like just in the last month going till midnight, but like I've been 9 to 6 for a while, but just in recently been going to midnight.
Why?
There's just a lot of changes. And I honestly, I think I got really like excited. Like I got too caught up in the whole lazy CEO thing. Like at the start of this year, like Q3, I was traveling for work. I was like away for half of the quarter. And I actually think it probably did take a toll on the company to not be around. And so, microphone.
Yeah, let's bring it back up.
But then I think I like, I don't know. I think for a while, because I started, like, as the business grew, we started, you know, when you start, you're a jack of all trades and you're doing everything. Yeah. And then you hire one person to take a function. You hire someone else who's like, to take a function. You get all these experts doing these functions, and it's quite an addictive thing to be like, start delegating and have like other people doing things. And then I was like, wasn't as active in the business, and I realized that that's kind of like boring. So now I'm like more active in it, but now, like, you know, sometimes you start too many projects at once. It's because I've started too many projects at once, and so there. And also, one of the things is we're having too many meetings. If I showed you my calendar last week, there's 1 hour of the 9 to 5, 9 to 6 that I'm not in a meeting. So when do you actually do work? So we've just started this 15-minute meeting rule at work, and also we have this award at the end of the week for like, so we have like the I Shit Rainbows award for anyone who does great.
The I Shit what?
I Shit Rainbows.
I Shit Rainbows.
Yeah, like you're so okay. Great, you shit rainbows. And then we also have shame shots, so anyone who like does something stupid, there's a shame shot, and now there's going to be like I host shit meetings. So they're just going to be shamed. Anyone who does
shit meeting. So if you spend too long in a meeting,
or you have a meeting that
you will shame your people like
yes, that? Yes, that could have been done by email. Well, we've said it.
And so people will take it, and you're okay with them like being hurt for a day because it means that no one's going to do it again.
Yeah, no more shit meetings.
Wow.
Well, hopefully.
I host shit meetings. So somebody's gotten that?
No, we started this week.
And you would be okay giving that to somebody? Meetings.
Yeah.
Wow, all right. You have a personal life? Is that a wedding ring? Is that an engagement ring? It is. You're engaged.
Yes. So I met him when I was on exchange in Sweden. So
you were with someone in Sweden?
I just dumped someone.
Okay.
To go to Sweden. And then at the end of that exchange, it was just great.
This is the thing where you finally got to party and then you came back home and you started your business. This is a long time ago. Okay.
So, I partied. And at the end of that exchange period, hooked up this guy, and it's great because I put on 13 kilos and he didn't. So I've got like a lot of like, you know, buffer at the moment.
Okay.
And then so we were just like students, and then what was crazy is like when we first met, I had my job at EY, and so I looked great on paper and he was just a student. And then when he's from Brisbane, so we probably would have never met otherwise. But then when he ended up moving to Sydney, not just for me, because he wanted to get into investment banking, and there's no investment banks in Brisbane.
Okay.
So then he had this amazing investment banking job. He's surrounded by other really smart and just like go-getter people. But I had my failed business and I was trying to start this new business. So I was like rock bottom. He was doing really well. And then Show Pony took off, and then he was working private equity. And then Show Pony kept taking off. And then he worked in strategy and planning with Uber, and then basically did all the budgeting and the like pricing for Uber. And then all of a sudden I was like, I need a CFO. I need a head of data. And he is literally fills in all those gaps. And now we work together.
Wow.
And that's why I think we end up staying at work, because it doesn't really feel like work. It's probably made our relationship stronger.
You bring your laptop to bed?
Both of you?
You don't, intentionally don't.
Okay. We do bring our phones though.
You do. I've been lately just putting my phone in a drawer as soon as I get home. But it's okay, I got the Apple Watch. I get to see what's going on. Wow, all right. Congratulations on the relationship. I like actually being with someone when they see you as a failure, just to see where they stick around.
And that's the thing, I think like you need to have fights, see how you deal with hardship to know, because you know, everyone's great when things are going well.
Okay.
And we're launching bridal wear on Thursday, which is exciting because we're doing the whole bridal thing as well.
What the hell are you doing here? Why are you doing this interview with me? Why are you going out doing interviews? You don't have time. You're about to launch something. You're shaming people who host shit meetings.
No, I actually love podcasts because I used to do. Actually, I've stopped doing public speaking because public speaking you reach a much smaller audience than the podcast.
Yes.
And then I'm a perfectionist, and you hate to go on stage and just be like, ugh.
Right.
And I like to cater. Otherwise, just watch my YouTube video. You know, like you want to cater for a specific audience. So I write everything fresh, and you've got to practice a few times. You got to do your slides. You're not putting like 20 hours into a thing,
right.
And also after you do it, it's gone forever. Whereas like how great are podcasts? They're the best hack.
Yeah.
And also you don't really need to like prep when you're talking about yourself. It's just about and every podcast is different because it's the you know how we like.
And
mesh.
I do feel we mesh better because we're in person, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it would have been good in Zoom remotely, but this is way better.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks so much for doing this
interview. Thanks for having me.
I don't think we should send them over to showpo.com, though. They might be interested about the products that you've got. I actually think if they've stuck around to the end of this, they should check out your YouTube channel. Where is that YouTube channel? I didn't take a link to it.
Just search the Lazy CEO.
Ah, right. I like that.
There's a business channel. There's a lot of like stupid vlogs, but if you want to just,
I'm going to go right
business
now.
Business playlist.
It's the Lazy CEO. Here's what I like about it. It's you fast talking, and you have an editor who will just like splice in videos fast.
Yeah.
So if you say I was a nerd, for example, which you said at one point, there was Homer Simpson calling his daughter a nerd, right? And then boom, right back to you. We're not fucking around here. We got stuff to do, but we also want to entertain a little bit. So that's Lazy CEO. That's how I ended up on there.
Yeah.
Lazy CEO.
The Lazy CEO.
The Lazy CEO.
Not just any.
Well, imagine if somebody else has Lazy CEO. And
there's
you
a bunch of lazy, like. You know, it's
lazy
it's become
CEO.
A thing now.
Let me see. This is the thing.
There's a guy at work who became the lazy employee. I'm like, oh, you know, it doesn't really work like that.
No, sure it does. But now you get to see it. Yeah, look at this. So look, some of your best stuff, I feel like some of your best stuff needs to get hundreds of thousands of views. I don't know what it is. Okay.
Well, thanks for the plug. Maybe it will now.
All right. Go check out The Lazy CEO on YouTube and everywhere else.
Yes.
Showpo.com. I want to thank the two sponsors who made this interview happen. The first will soon host a website for somebody who's selling steamers. It'll blow people away. Steamers are way easier than irons. Hostgator.com/Mixergy. And the second one, I'm just going to talk to you.
Toptal.
Exactly. TOPTAL.com/Mixergy. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.